Well, good morning and welcome to our online experience. My name is Chet. I'm the campus pastor here at West Campus. And as you might guess, we are outside in front of our temporary location, Willow Creek School. And as we are getting our feet under us here, we're going to do these pre-records. And we would love to see you in person. If you are a guest and you're watching for the first time, man, we would love to connect with you. So make sure to come over the summer, and I'd love the chance to meet you. But today we're going to continue talking about this exciting season that we're in as a church. So many of you know, just a couple weeks ago, we sold our former building on South Abbey Road because we are working towards building a new building. And right now we're in temporary space for the time being. And I wanted to just spend a few moments together today and just talk about the why of what we're doing. That's what last week was about. And we looked at the mission of Jesus, that Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. And that mission of Jesus is why we know him and love him and have experienced his grace. And it's also what our purpose is. But today I want to look at the Apostle Paul, who is one of the big figures in the New Testament, and I want to talk about his ambition and what that means for us. But just before we get into this, would you bow your head in prayer with me? Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who comes for us, who seeks us, who saves us. Father, thank you for the good news of the gospel that, Lord, we've received, that we carry, that we're entrusted to bring to this world. Help us, Father, as people and as a church, to share it and to be a church that has that same desire as the Apostle Paul does, to just bring that message to people that don't know it yet. Put that on our hearts, grow that in us. I ask all this in Jesus' good name. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've ever kind of had to travel far to go do something you really wanted to do. Like it was something that was a big enough deal that you were willing to maybe spend a little bit more money, spend a little bit more time, endure a little bit more hassle to do it. We all have probably went to a concert and spent more than we normally would have because we just really wanted to see those people. In fact, I remember many years ago when Guns N' Roses were reunited. Now, growing up as a kid, they were my favorite band. And you can judge my musical choice and my musical taste. I'll receive it. But Guns N' Roses, when I was a kid, they were broken up. And it never looked like they were ever going to come back together again. You know, all the egos and craziness of the rock and roll world had pretty much tore them apart. And so years, there were rumors that it was going to happen. And then finally, after decades, they all reunited, the original members, and they went on tour. And I was like, man, I want to go see them. This may never happen again. I want to go to one of their concerts. And so I was looking and had some friends that were going, and I decided to buy some tickets and to go to a place that honestly, I'm a little bit ashamed that I went to. And the concert that I went to, it was in the city of Pittsburgh. And I know many of you are you're actually signing off right now because you're like, I can't listen to this. But unfortunately, it gets worse. Not only was the concert in Pittsburgh, but it was at Heinz Field. And so I went to Pittsburgh and I went to Heinz Field, a place I would never ever normally go because I wanted to see the concert. And some things, and it was awesome, by the way, but some things are worth it. You know, some things are worth going the extra mile, are worth a little bit more money, are worth a little bit more hassle. And today we're going to see that the Apostle Paul, he was a guy that traveled really far. He was a guy that put up with a lot of difficulty. He was a guy that did not have an easy journey, but he embraced real challenge and real difficulty because he was after something that meant so much to him. He had an ambition, if you will, that drove him to do those things and to endure those things and to pay the cost of some things. And it's an ambition today that I think we ought to have too. And I want today to explain it and to understand it and to talk about what it looks like in our lives. So we're going to look at the book of Romans, chapter 15, and I'm going to begin at verse 17. And here's the Apostle Paul's words. He says this: "In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God." It's kind of an interesting verse, isn't it? He said, I'm proud of the work I've done for God. Normally, we might not put those things together because we don't generally want to be proud. We want to be humble. And to be proud of our work for God seems kind of like something you shouldn't be. But I think Paul is showing us something important, that it's good to have a sense of well-being of how we serve God. Paul's saying, you know what, I'm satisfied with how I've spent my life in service to God. I look back and I'm not filled with regrets. I don't see a bunch of missed opportunities. I've done what I think God wants me to do, and I'm proud of that. And I think there is a healthy sense of pride in that. And I would just say today that I'm proud of our church for this season. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of how this church has served, has sacrificed, has loved God, has loved people, has said, hey, we're going to be a church that is going to take steps of faith. We're going to be a church that is going to give generously. We're going to be a church that is going to serve with our whole hearts. And when I look at so much of our church's story, I'm proud to be part of this church. Not that I'm saying we're great and we're better, but I am thankful to be part of people who are committed to honoring God in a special way. And so I get what Paul is saying, and I hope you do too. He says this: I'm proud of my work for God. And he says, but I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. But he's saying, but listen, anything that I'm proud of is really Christ working through me. And that's true for us too, isn't it? He says, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition. And hear that. He said, this is my ambition, to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named. I love this. Lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Paul says, here's what my ambition is. I want to go to people who don't know Jesus, and I want to help them see and understand Jesus. Paul says, that's my ambition. That's what I want to do. That is the ministry God has put on my heart. That's a ministry I'm doing to the best that I can. And I have ambition to do more of that. And today, church, I want that ambition to be our ambition. As individuals, if you're a follower of Jesus today, I want you to resonate with Paul's words. But as part of this church, I also want to see that as our ambition. Why are we here? Well, very simply, so that others may know Jesus. That's it. That's what. Why are we at Durkee Road? Why do we sell our building? Why are we in temporary location? Why are we working so hard to build a new building? The simple reason is because of Paul's ambition. And because when you are going after something you know is valuable, you're willing to stretch a little bit more. You're willing to spend a little bit more. You're willing to inconvenience yourself. You're willing to put in more effort because you know the end result is worth it. And here's what I believe. As a church, it is worth it to be the type of church that God uses to help others to see Jesus and to understand him. It is worth the price and the hassle and the difficulty. And that's what Paul shows us. Now, let's dig into this a little bit more, because I just want to tell you about Paul for a second, just to understand him a bit, because he was truly a remarkable man. Charles Swindoll, he was a great author and Bible teacher. He called Paul a man of grit and grace. And I love those two words, grit, that he was tough. He could endure. He had a lot of endurance. That's grit. But he was also a man of grace, meaning he was formed by God's love, by God's kindness. And he brought that everywhere he went. And these two qualities, grit and grace, are a beautiful combination. I want to be a man of grit and grace. And I bet you want to be a person of grit and grace as well. Now, Paul was this kind of guy because he was radically, and I am not using this in an exaggerated sense at all, he was radically transformed by the grace of God. When we first meet Paul in the story of Scripture, Paul is adamantly against the mission and the people of Jesus. So when we meet Paul, he is working as hard as he can to stop the movement of Jesus. He is approving of early Christians that are being killed. He's actively seeking them out, harassing them, and trying to get them arrested. I mean, he is trying to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. I mean, this is as against the person of Jesus as you could ever imagine anyone being. That's how we first meet Paul. But then Paul encounters Jesus. The one he is trying to persecute, he actually meets. And in that meeting, Paul becomes a transformed man, absolutely transformed. And in that moment, and from that moment on, all the energy he put to destroying the church of Jesus, he puts it towards building the church of Jesus. As much as he was against it, now he is even more for it. He is a man that is completely transformed. And we see in the New Testament that he traveled in the ancient world from city to city, bringing the good news of Jesus, starting churches, and encouraging churches. And we know if you just do the math on all the places we know that he went in the New Testament, he traveled 13,400 miles on foot. Remember, friends, this is 2,000 years ago. There's no cars, there's no Vespas, there's no Segways, there's none of that. He's doing it on foot. And oftentimes he is in danger of robbers and rougher parts. He's exposed to all kinds of things, lots of mountainous terrain. This would have just been absolutely physically exhausting. But Paul not only endured that, he also was arrested several times. He was stoned. This is an ancient practice where they literally put you in a little pit. They take stones and they throw them at your head to kill you. Paul endured that so others would know Jesus. He was constantly criticized. He was constantly threatened. I could spend a whole sermon sharing with you all Paul went through. He was a tough guy. He was gritty. He was resilient. He was willing to endure all that so others would know Jesus. Paul did not sign up for an easy life. And I don't think we should sign up for an easy life either. I don't think we really want an easy life. I think sometimes we are confused within ourselves. We're like, Lord, just make my life easy and comfortable and no problems. I would say that's not actually the life you need. What you need is a real experience of life where you feel fully alive, because you are engaged in work that is bigger than you, that is more important than you, that calls you out of selfishness and into selfless service of others. And Paul understood that. One of my favorite guides for prayer is a quote from this man named Phillips Brooks. He was a preacher in Boston in the 1800s. But I find this so powerful. He says this: do not pray for easy lives. Church, I'm telling you, that's not what you need. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be the miracle. And so Paul said, I don't want an easy life. I want a meaningful life. And I believe that's what you want too. And some of us, we're trying to find meaning in easy, and you can't find it there. Meaning is in the worthwhile. And Paul says, now that Christ has changed me, my life is about things that are worthwhile. And Paul attributed all his drive, all his resilience, he attributed it all to the grace of God. Here's what he said in one of his letters. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. He's talking about all the early church leaders. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Paul said, if you want to understand my drive, then you have to understand the grace that God has given me. You see, when you understand how good God has been to you, and when you understand how much you don't deserve it, and when you understand how merciful, how kind God is and God was and God will be to us, it creates a holy energy in our lives. Here's what Paul says in the book of Timothy. He says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, I am the worst sinner in the world. I'm the worst. And Christ came for me. You see, that is a man that understands grace. Jesus said it this way, those who are forgiven much, love much. And see, when I understand how much God has done for me, do you know what it does in me? It makes me want to serve him. It makes me want to sacrifice for him. It makes me want to take this treasure of grace that has been given to me and say, man, this is too good not to share. And it makes me want to go out and bring it to others. See, what made Paul remarkable was the grace of God. And do you know what will make our lives and our church remarkable? It's the grace of God. It wasn't because of how great Paul was. It was because of how great the grace was that was given to him and is given to us. Today, are you aware of it? Do you recognize it? Do you resonate with Paul and say, you know what, when I think about it, I'm the worst sinner too. In fact, you might say, actually, Paul, I got you beat. I think I'm worse than you are. Well, if that's what you think, that's actually good because you're realizing what he has given us. And once we realize that, then we'll begin to do something really meaningful with it. And that was Paul. And so Paul said, he says in these verses, he says, now I understand my life as an instrument in God's hand. He says, I won't venture to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. He's saying, I'm a tool in God's hand. And I'm opening my life and I'm giving my life for those purposes. I am God's instrument that he could use me in the way that he wants. I think it's so healthy to understand our lives that way. Lord, I want to be your instrument. I want to be a man, a woman that you can use. And my prayer is that our ambition for that would grow. Like, Lord, I want you to use my life. I pray you feel that. And I pray that after today, you feel that even more. You're like, Lord, your grace has been so good to me, so abundant to me, that I want my life to be used by you as much as you want to. Here's another verse from Paul. It kind of helps us to understand how he sees this. He says, now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself for what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Paul says, do you want to be used by God? He said, that's a good thing. And he said, just cleanse yourself of whatever is holding you back from being more usable by God, and God will use you in a greater way. What Paul's saying, how much do you want God to use you? Well, allow God to cleanse anything in your life that is keeping you from being used, and he will use you in a greater way. And I love that way of thinking. And I want to continue to offer my life to God and say, Lord, would you just cleanse out of me anything that gets in the way, that makes me less usable to you and for you. And so Paul says, my life is an instrument of God. And he says, and I have fulfilled, I love this, I have fulfilled the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. And if you follow the geography of what he's saying, it kind of presents like this radius, if you will, this area. And Paul says, I fulfilled the ministry of the gospel in this whole region. I've saturated this region with the gospel. And what if that is a little bit of the way it all works? What if God wants to entrust certain people like us and certain churches like our church? And what if God is saying to us, he's saying, I'm entrusting you with the gospel to bring it to Grafton, to Eaton, to North Ridgeville, to Elyria, to LaGrange. What if God is saying, hey, this area around you, I want you to see that you are entrusted by me to fulfill a ministry there, to do a work, to bring Jesus to those people and to that place. And church, I believe that is God's call on us. And I want to take it as serious as I can. I want to say, Lord, we hear that call. We receive that call. And we will do our best with it, just like Paul. And we will look forward to that day where we can say, Lord, we fulfilled our ministry. We brought it to Grafton. We brought it to Elyria. We brought it to LaGrange. We brought it to North Ridgeville. We brought it to Columbia Station. And Lord, we're going to just keep doing our best. That's the ambition that I want in my heart and in my life. And maybe in a smaller level, maybe as individuals, God's brought you to a certain company and you're like, man, this is kind of a spiritually dark place. Well, maybe God is entrusting to you the good news of the gospel to bring it there. Maybe you've been like discouraged. You're like, oh, I'm the only Christian here. Well, maybe that's by design. You're looking at the wrong way. And maybe that's because God's saying, hey, this area, this little office, these 4 or 5 cubicles, I've entrusted that to you. Maybe you're the only Christian in your family. And maybe God has entrusted that area to you. And when you step into the square footage of your home, you need to realize you are stepping into a ministry that God has given you. And you need to pray, and you need to love, and you need to serve, and you need to share, and you need to set an example because God has given you that ministry. You see, the way we see all this matters. And Paul said, I see it. I'm doing it. I'm living it. I'm giving my best because at the core, my ambition is to bring Christ where he's not known. He says, I don't want to build on someone else's foundation. Now, some people are called to do that, and that's great. But some of us are called like Paul to say, where is Christ not known? Where is there just a plot of land that we need to go and we need to level it and we need to dig it out and we need to put a foundation on that the life of Christ can be built on? Church, that's who we are. We are foundation builders. We are a church that is going to lay foundations that generations that come will be able to build on. But we are pioneers. We are groundbreakers. We are starters. We are evangelists. This is who God has made us and who God has called us to be. And we follow in this great tradition of the Apostle Paul. And is there any more noble calling than that? I can't think of one. And I just want you to think for a second. Is there anyone in your life that you would love it? It would mean the world to you if they could see Christ like you see him. They could see his beauty, his excellence, his love, his forgiveness, his wisdom, his perfection, his glory. Is there anyone that with all your heart you long for them to see him like you see him? Is there anyone in your life that you long with all your heart that they would understand him as you understand him? And could you just imagine if they saw him and they understood them, could you imagine the joy that would be in your heart? It would be great, wouldn't it? And we all have those people. And church, that's why we're here. That's why we're doing it. That they would see, that they would understand. Some of the people that God is going to reach in our church, their families have been praying for decades for them. And we're going to get the privilege to be used by God to help them to know Jesus. All the effort of this season, all the sacrifice, all the challenge of the season, it's for this church. And it's worth it. And we ought to give our very, very best. Allie and I celebrated our 12-year anniversary just a few weeks ago. It was really great. And we went to Strip Steakhouse in Avon for dinner. And if you have ever been there, you know it is an amazing place. We were blessed with a gift card to go there. So my mentality going there was like, I'm going all out. Normally, you know, because it's kind of an expensive place, normally we'll be a little more budget conscious. But I was like, nope, I'm getting like the best steak I can. We're going for it. And I did. And we had, it was an incredible meal. Now, did it cost more? It sure did. Was it kind of a pain to get a reservation? It was. I had to do it weeks out. We had to do it late at night because that place is so packed on the weekend. Was it a hassle in those regards? It was. Did it take more effort? It did. Was it worth it? You better believe it was. It was awesome. And we had such a great and special time. And here's what I'm saying, church. Here's what I'm saying. This season, this mission, this opportunity that God has entrusted us with as a church, it is worth it. Will it cost us more? It will. Will it stretch us more? It will. Will it take more effort? It will. Will it be worth it? It will. Because every name, every story that you hear, every person that you see baptized in the coming years, you will know that God used you and God used us to bring Christ to them. What a privilege. Let's pray. Father, would you bless us? Would you stir up our ambition for these things? And could we move forward with grace like Paul did in all the strength that you give us to do all that you want us to do? I ask this in the great name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you.